Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So Catherine, today we're going to talk about sex and politics. Those are two of your favorite subjects.
They are.
Two hot topics at work. First question concerns an employee whose boss imposes his strong political views on his staff. And now that we're coming up to an election, this is going to happen more and more.
It sure is.
And the second question shines light on the evergreen issue of navigating a sexual pass at work, which you think would not exist anymore, but it does, because we just heard about this week.
Oh, yeah. Sex and politics, they just never go away, do they?
No, I don't think that they do. Mm-mm-mm. All right, so here we go. Logan, what's number one?
I work for a boss who I really like, but he crosses the line when it comes to politics. He makes it very clear what his positions are and insists that we read petitions that he thinks everyone should sign. If there's a fundraising event for one of his candidates, he sends emails encouraging me to attend. I feel that politics should be off limits at work. What do I say to him?
I mean, I think you could actually say that to him.
That I feel that politics should be off limits
at
work?
Yeah, not in those words. But I think, you know, if it's not part of the job, I mean, if you work for political campaigns, then no. Right. But I think if it's not
part
of the...
tell him he could be arrested or... No.
No, but if it's not part of the job, you can say, look, I'd rather not do those things. Is that okay with you? You could ask.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, maybe he won't be so. I mean, the thing is, if you don't say anything, he may think that you like it or that you agree with him.
Yeah.
And you may want to hear his point of view. But, you know, there are people that just don't understand this boundary. I don't think it has a place at work.
No, there are people who don't understand. And actually, it's interesting because there are people who also do assume that you think the same way they do.
Right. You know? Right.
I mean, so in some cases, the person is maybe rather narcissistic. In other cases, it may just be that they're very zealous and they think everyone should think the way they are. They think.
Right. Or they're misreading you.
Or they're misreading you.
Which happens.
I've had that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assumptions.
Yeah.
About my leanings. So it's tricky territory. You also don't want to offend your boss, right?
Well, I think that's where it comes in, is that that's the problem here.
You need the job. You like the guy, but you don't like his behavior in this area.
Yeah. I mean, if these are the ethics or the political points of view of the company and they differ with you, then that's something to think about.
Yeah.
But if it's just some random guy, your boss... Then, your boss.
Listen, you are a random guy in my world, and I work for you, but I really don't like your policy. No, you wouldn't say that. You'd say, I really respect what you're trying to do here, but I have a policy of keeping politics out of the workplace.
There you go. That could not have been said better by me.
Why, thank you.
That was very good.
Congratulations. Have you considered business there?
Yeah, that was good. That's exactly what you have to do, because... Yeah. You know, you're not saying, I don't agree with you, although he probably will interpret it that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think anyone in their right mind knows that they can only go so far at work. They can't really push their point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I were talking about this before when we got this question about how people like to sell their Girl Scout cookies. A Boy Scout, I don't know if Boy Scouts have cookies. Maybe it's only the Girl Scouts have cookies.
Knives.
I think it's only, compasses.
But I think schools even try to raise money. And
sure.
I know my daughter, you know, 1 year we were selling magazines. So you do go to your network. So some people
I bought some of those magazines.
You did?
I enjoyed them. People.
You probably bought everything from whatever Nicole was selling. She was not a Girl Scout. But I have bought Girl Scout cookies from my friend's kids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At work.
That's different. Your friend's kids, right? That would be different than if it were your boss.
Or your office.
Or someone you don't particularly care for. Who is running around insisting everyone purchase something.
Right, so not everybody likes that. I kind of like it. I never really feel under pressure.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't like that. Don't like somebody bringing their personal values into the workplace.
Yes.
Because you're there to do just a job.
You are there to do a job.
With a random boss.
with a random boss. That's a random.
Well, first of all, because bosses are not forever, so they are kind of random.
Yeah. Look, you're not going to be my boss forever, but right. for now, I really respect your political views, and I'd prefer to keep it out of the workplace. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was thinking it was really interesting. A year, my first serious job out of school was I was a receptionist at a health center that was essentially an undercover gay health center. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful, wonderful experience. But there was one woman there who was a radical lesbian feminist, and she hated me because I didn't share her views.
Yeah, well, you know, there are people that feel very strongly that their point of view has to be the only point of view in the room.
Yeah.
That's a problem in general. And I would just say to those people, it's always important to consider your audience and to see that other people see differently and that you have to learn to speak to them in a way that they can hear you.
Yeah.
Because just ramming your point of view down somebody's throat, they don't learn. They're not going to get it. They're not going to appreciate you. They're going to see you as a little crazy. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you really listen to them, you may figure out a way to teach them something.
Right. Mm-hmm. You could have civilized discourse at some point.
Or learn not to see anything at all.
Sometimes that's best.
Well, that's part of the thing is that political beliefs, opinions are so, I find, I'll say from a psychological point of view, they're so emotionally based, mm-hmm. right? It's like religion.
All the things you're not supposed to talk about. Yeah. Right? On a first date, religion, politics.
Sex.
Sex, right.
Well, I guess, I don't know, depends on the situation and your mood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those, because I think that's right, because they are so emotionally based. And I'd actually love to look at studies to see do people actually sway? Do they really move their political opinion somewhere, anywhere? Mm-hmm. From one point to another, mm-hmm. by virtue of discourse, or does it just happen?
Oh, I think it does happen. No, I think that as you, I think people do change their political views. Mm-hmm. I believe they do.
Is it done by someone else convincing them that they should change their political views? I guess is what my pondering.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Because that's why we get in arguments about that stuff, right? That's why people have heated discussions. Mm-hmm. I assume mm-hmm. is that they think they're trying to
sway or sell
sway
them on
someone
one
else. Yeah,
point.
What you believe.
Yeah, and they just cannot believe that you would think that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this in general does not really belong in the workplace.
No, there are enough things to disagree about.
Yeah, it's true.
Why bring politics into the situation?
And as we now move into this new, election year, I think this is going to become more and more of an issue. So yes. Our advice is to try to avoid it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stay neutral.
I mean, if you work for a company where everybody's in agreement, that's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. But chances are that's not really possible.
What if you're on the other side of this fence? Like maybe you deeply believe in a certain candidate and you hear colleagues disparaging that person, making mm-hmm. fun of that person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of,
life.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have two candidates ultimately that are running, you're going to have two different opinions about why that person is going to win. So, and then, of course, then you have 4 years of bitterness.
That's what I was thinking.
The loser.
Right.
It's very challenging not to judge someone who has different views from yours, right?
Right.
And not to feel maybe even persecuted if you hear them making fun of someone who you really want to support.
Right. That's why it's better avoided at work and just say, I'd rather not engage in conversations that are about politics. I've got other forms for that. And not
you here. Nut you. You crazy, radical
just,
nut
I think you.
You
just have to try to avoid them, these discussions. They really don't have place in the workplace. Although I've read many articles that say that they do have a place in the workplace. But I just don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with your disagreeing with that, Kathy.
Yeah. Just okay, so that's where we come out on this, Logan. You also keep it out
of the workplace.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it just
personal
doesn't belong
business
there.
Separate.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to take a commercial break and come back with a question about sex.
Mm. Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Okay, Logan, what is this question?
My company was recently bought by a larger corporation in another state, and I was assigned a new boss. I traveled to the corporate headquarters to meet with my new supervisor. We met for dinner at a local restaurant, and in the cab ride to my hotel, he made a sexual pass at me. I brushed him away, then he asked if he could come up to my hotel room. I politely said no. On top of that, when I got up to my hotel room, he texted me. How could this happen in 2015?
It did.
It did.
Yeah, I don't know that it's ever going to go away. I mean, it's just part of male-female anatomy.
It is. The battle of the sexes, the merging of the sexes. Nothing
I mean,
to do
you
about.
Know, when it hits, it hits. But, I mean, clearly you don't really need to participate in that. And it, you know, look, I don't have any respect for a guy that does that. That's really pretty. It's a put down.
Mm-hmm. How about a woman who does it?
I think
still
whenever
bad.
You sexually, I mean, if a relationship were to brew between them, let's say they were to just go out and really enjoy each other's company and they found a lot of things in common and that grew over a period of time, that's one thing.
Yes.
But to, you know, proposition somebody back, going back to their hotel and then making a booty call later, I mean, that's really, I mean, I wouldn't like that out of, you know, anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
It's well, disrespectful.
Let alone your boss.
Yes.
Your
no,
yes.
Well, to be in this position actually can be terrifying if you're the employee, right?
Right, because you don't know if you're going to lose your job.
Uh-huh. And you don't know if you say no, what the repercussions, even aside from losing your job, if the boss will then be mean to you or treat you in a negative, angry way, right?
We actually have heard that with women that turned the men down and then they were essentially sabotaged from then on until they were fired.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, it's really not good. So I think it's all in the way you handle it. I don't think it's okay to get righteous and say, how dare you? And I just, because I think, you know, how dare you? Well, it happened.
Then he'll go into a shame spiral.
Exactly. That's right. And you don't know what's going to come out of that.
No, don't ever want to go into those.
So, I mean, one thing that I've always used, because this has happened to me.
Yes, many, many times.
Well, I don't know about many, but it has happened to me. And it's always very difficult. It's always shocking when it happens, too. I just always say, I'm so flattered. I'm really flattered. But I just have a policy that I just don't mix business with pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And thank you so much. And then go then go vomit. And never want to be near them again.
Go to the ladies
thank
room.
You
hold
too.
On. Yeah.
That's how
I do a similar thing.
One.
I do a similar thing. Mine is no one ever likes to hear what I say.
Wait, let me hear. What do you say?
No, well, what I've said in the past, actually, there was a fellow who I really, really liked. And when I was in the Peace Corps, this wonderful guy, he was like the teacher, kind of supervisor of the volunteers. And he had a reputation for taking the professional and turning it personal. And I even thought he was kind of cute. You know, I had a crush on him. But when he made a pass at me, I said, you know what? The last thing I want to do is complicate our professional relationship. Mm-hmm. And I really respect you. And I really admire how you're running this team. So we've got to keep it neutral. I don't want to do this.
And what happened?
He was flattered, actually.
Uh-huh.
In that case. Uh-huh. I mean, I was lucky. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, I can respect that decision.
So I had this one situation where the man, he was actually a buyer for JCPenney, and I was selling selling Wrangler. So I really wanted his business.
Right.
And I had a personal connection with him. He knew my father. They were friends. Mm-hmm. So clearly he was a lot older than me.
Oh, my gosh.
And he propositioned me just as I was about to go through one of those turnstiles. You know, in New York City, we have buildings where you go into one of those, you know.
Yeah,
So what is it, like 10 seconds? Mm-hmm. Maybe less. So he did. He said, look, why don't you and I get together? I think we can have a good time together. And I was so grossed out, and I got in the turnstile, and I had to come up with something by the time we were both out of the turnstile. And I said, I'm really flattered, but I can't mix those two. And
my father would kill me.
My father would kill you.
Yeah. He did continue to pursue me for a while after that, and I was pretty appalled, actually, that he was a friend of my father's and would.
Well, there are those individuals who cannot hear the word no.
Yeah.
Right? Who don't hear it.
Right.
They think,
But nothing ever happens.
It becomes a challenge, right?
Yes.
But I think it's important that you do say no, no matter how nice you say it, because if you lead them on, if you're a woman and you don't know, or even a guy doesn't know how to say, no, I don't want to do this. I'm going to, thank you very much, but I'm going to pass. Then you could get into even more trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you mean? You mean, and find yourself in a compromising position?
Well, because if the person didn't hear the no, or you're wishy-washy about it, they may continue to pursue you, and it may get worse, make it harder to say no.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the sooner you say no, the better off you are.
Yeah, this can also be confusing, I think, because the proposition could come with a carrot, like maybe someone offers to take you on a really special business trip, mm-hmm. right? And you know that it could be a lot of fun, and B, move your career forward, and you still need to say no.
Mm. It's just reminded me of somebody we know. She's worked for us, and she was my assistant at a company I worked at. And this buyer was in love with her, and his name was Herbie. He was so unattractive. Herbie was just unattractive. Anyway, he had gone overseas to China, and he came back, and he brought her pearls. Like a really expensive. He really wooed her, and he's married clearly, and she wasn't. She ended up, getting involved with him. But the irony, minimally, but the irony of the story is
just for the pearls.
She was robbed, and those pearls were stolen. And I remember her saying, "I should have never taken the pearls."
Right. So that's a good example.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
just remember Herbie and the pearls.
Just remember Herbie and the pearls.
Lesson learned.
It's not usually worth it. And a real relationship will evolve.
Yes.
Right. It doesn't start that way. That's not how a relationship starts.
No.
A relationship starts by becoming
right.
Friends.
Any workplace relationships, and the sort of standard advice is that even if there's a strong attraction, that you should build the friendship for as long as you can before acting on it in any way, right? Because you don't, if it's a passionate sexual encounter and it dies out, then you're going to be in really bad shape.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's, many, many ways to take this whole sexual stuff in the workplace, but, our general advice is to avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Avoid sex.
Avoid politics.
It's so boring. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's about, it's at
work. Establish boundaries,
have,
right?
I mean, you can have as much sex as you want somewhere else.
Right next to your office if you want.
Go crazy in the cubicle, just not with your boss.
And you're not talking politics.
Cute gender? Right. Hey, what the heck?
Right, exactly.
Just keep those things out of the workplace. It's, that's not what you're being paid to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, at the same time, it can be very confusing because we are at work for long, long hours. It can get very intense.
You can get very horny all those hours. Yeah.
I know people in the production business where you just spend like 48 hours with someone and then suddenly you find yourself attracted to this person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so then it becomes very hard to set a clear boundary in those situations.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely careers that lend themselves to
dalliances.
Right, right. But we're talking about the general 9-to-5 here.
Right.
Yes.
Where the chances are there, but not as big.
So if someone makes a pass at you with whom you do not want to be passed, you do not want an encounter, you're saying just say thank you so much, but I don't mix business and pleasure.
Right. I'm very flattered. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not personal. It's professional.
I'm remembering that I did that at a recruiting office when I was back a recruiter for the Peace Corps, and the result was that the guy didn't talk to me for the next 2 years.
Yeah, well, that.
See, it's all dependent. It's very dependent upon the person.
How did you
And he was so shy, so for him to actually propose something
rejection.
And then me to say no, I think was just a little too much. So we worked.
You're so sympathetic. I felt very badly
about it. It's the therapist in her. You know.
But we worked side by side. Well. We just didn't talk for a long time. So.
And there was no sexual tension.
Not on my side, but you know.
Did you feel it from him? Was
it was not.
It's irrelevant, right?
It's relevant, but actually, so I'm just going to say to anyone who's dealing with this, it's not necessarily easy. It's not comfortable. It's just sort of part of life and part of work.
I think sexual tension in general is part of life, whether, you know, it's at work or, you know, it just is part of life.
It is.
You know, you just have to decide what's going to rule, you know, your principles,
or your hormones.
Right. You know, it's you have to make some discerning decisions if you're in the workplace about what you're going to do with that.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it's there. It's just there.
It's there. That's right. And you can't be too terribly shocked if someone shows you that they have sexual feelings for you. You can be shocked, but we're encouraging. That's part of the deal.
Well, I think if it's somebody your age, it's probably not shocking. It's when it comes, like this woman whose story we read today.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that came really...
Older?
That was, that was really just he wanted to, you know, have a fling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unprofessional of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So as long as they keep it professional.
Right.
No yelling. No pepper spray.
No drugs. I mean, if he wanted her, he could have drugged her.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
That's a story.
So don't drink anything that you don't know the contents of.
Or that you turned away from.
No after-dinner drinks with your boss.
Right.
And on that lovely note.
Yeah, that's it.
So join us next time for another My Crazy Office. Tweet us at SK2. Send us your stories and advice about sex and politics at work. And review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.